The idea here is to increase the avenues for making complaints, but this will not interfere with the police's normal investigation of a complaint.
So a person can go and file their complaint with the Civilian Review Board just as well as going down to the police department and leaving their complaint form?
Right.
The new board, what we're calling the Public Safety and Community Relations Board, has no investigative authority. It can't compel an officer to come and speak to it. It really doesn't have much teeth at all in terms of investigation. How good is that?
Well, we think that this is progress. We understand that we're suffering from the constraints of a collective bargaining agreement that doesn't allow interference with the normal process of the police department in terms of disciplining the officers. And so what this board, this proposed board, would do is review complaints that have been handled by the police department. And then through time, patterns will emerge, recommendations will be made by this board. They're allowed to publish recommendations and reports. And so this will be something that we feel does have a check and balance for the police department.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit more in depth. What will happen if police, for example, find that a complaint is unfounded and the review board disagrees? What happens then?
So you're saying that after a complainant has notified the review board and they've looked at it and there's a discrepancy between what the review board feels about the case, how it was handled, and how the police chief feels?
Exactly. If there's a big discrepancy between the findings of the police department investigation, say they exonerate the officer's actions, and the review board does not.
Well, I think this is where the fact that this would be a public review board, although there would be times that they would have meetings that wouldn't be open, subject to state law, but that this would be where the public's attention would be focused on this. And at that point, that would be for the police department and the chief to explain why they handled the matter the way that they did. And this is the oversight that the community can have on a matter like this.
But they cannot change a police department determination.
We feel that this is a step in the right direction towards police accountability. We give our police officers a monopoly on the use of coercion, and they do that in our name. And so this is something that, particularly in a community where we talk about community policing as often as we do in Bloomington, this is something where the community is going to be able to have a second look. And the primary motive here is both to increase the avenues for complaints and to get feedback on the police, but then also to offer the existing system a little more integrity, where people are sure that it's going to have that second review, a chance for things to see the light of day, and to reassure the public that they can bring these things forward, trust the normal process, and if they're dissatisfied with that, then there will be a second set of eyes there.
The members of the board will be made up of people appointed by the mayor and the council. Can we know that these members will be people who do have the public interest at heart?
Oh, I believe so. I think that when we have people serving on other boards and in city government, when we have people who are elected to the council, we're able to trust that their character has been assessed by those that are doing, whether it's the electorate or it's in this case going to be the mayor with the advice of the council. And so the standards that they put in there is that these will be people with a reputation for fairness, integrity, impartiality, and a sense of public service. And so I think that that can be representatives of a broad and diverse background.
Now, people are going to want to know, is this going to cost anything? Is this going to cost the taxpayers anything? It looks like it's pretty much a wash because they don't have any budget. They don't have any staff. It's a volunteer board.
At this point, I'm not familiar if there have been any cost projections on this, but I agree with your assessment that it would seem like this is going to be a voluntary board and that there probably would be some administrative cost in terms of printing and materials and things like that.
Civilian review boards have not worked smoothly in all cities. The U.S. Justice Department criticized the city of Cleveland's board for a lack of transparency and accountability. In Tampa, Florida, they had political problems with the selection of board members. And in New York City, there were complaints that the review board was co-opted by the police. How can we avoid those pitfalls here?
Well, I think that this will be something that there will be a learning curve for those first members of this board. There's provisions in the proposed ordinance for training and orientation that's going to come from the city legal department and the police department. And then this will be something that as that board continues on and gets some longevity to it, they'll identify needs for their training and also to be able to set up a schedule that works for them to keep interest and to begin to look also at policies overall that they might want to make recommendations in those reports that they're empowered to give based on possibly, complaints that have come forward, but just because of their awareness and their focus on the business of policing in our community.
You're listening to Sound Ideas. I'm Judy Valente. I'm talking with Tom Cullen of the ACLU of Central Illinois about a new proposed ordinance for a police community relations board. Tom, there's a provision in this ordinance that would prevent people with a felony criminal record from serving as a member of the police oversight board.
That's the one thing that we're not happy with in this proposal. Overall, we think this is wonderful progress and a great proposal. But the groups in the alliance of ACLU, Black Lives Matter, NAACP, Not in Our Town, and YWCA, this is something that we've all said we think is fundamentally unfair.
Why would it be unfair?
Well, we're hoping for, people of diverse background. Yes, we want them to have, good character, and we trust our mayor and the council to see to that. But if you think about barring people who've had, any felony conviction and have a record, that could be somebody who that was 30 years ago and now is, a pillar of our community, or that would apply to somebody who that was 1 year ago. And so we think that the standard of, this person being a person of integrity and character is a much better measure that we trust our elected officials to make that determination on a case-by-case basis. We also are hoping to include people who have personal experience with law enforcement. And so to take one particular aspect of our population out of that seems unfair. The other thing is that we have a situation in our criminal justice system in America, nationwide, statewide, and even locally, where there is a disparate impact on people of color, in particular African Americans. So there's been over-policing in general, and there's been the circumstance where that might be unfairly eliminating a larger percentage of those communities of color than we intend to do with this board. The mayor is given some direction on this in Section 3 of the proposed ordinance for the board. It says in subsection D that in making appointments, the mayor shall endeavor to reflect community diversity, including different neighborhoods, income levels, ethnicity, age, gender, sexual orientation, and ability status. So that would seem to make the intent clear that we want everybody to participate in this.
Let's say there's an incident of a police shooting similar to, and no one hopes this would happen here, but similar to what happened in Ferguson, Missouri a few years ago. You have an unarmed citizen shot by the police. It becomes very controversial. There were some shootings like that up in Chicago. The Laquan McDonald shooting comes to mind. What role do you see the review board playing in a controversial police shooting like that, should one occur, which of course we hope would never occur here?
The primary role of this board is hopefully creating an environment where the community trusts their police. They feel like their input is heard so that there wouldn't be the possibility of a Ferguson-type environment over, an unfortunate, shooting incident. I believe, I'm not a licensed attorney, but I believe that the state police would investigate a matter like that where there's a shooting. So this board would then be able, to look at that for the community's interest, again, not having the ability to discipline a particular officer or compel testimony. But as I say, I think that this is one of the reasons why this board is necessary, is so that people have trust in their police force and they believe in the integrity of its procedures.
Do you think this is a panacea or just one step on a long path toward improving police community relations?
I think this is one solid step in the right direction towards police accountability in our community.
Do you think you have the votes on the council to get this ordinance passed?
Yes, we feel we do.
Tom Cullen is a member of the steering committee of the ACLU of Central Illinois. He's been talking about a new proposal for a community police relations review board. Thank you so much, Tom, for coming in.
Thank you.
I'm Judy Valente.